11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day.
Can it be what just got sent to us?
Yeah, I mean, we were given permission to play the audio. Now it needs to be bleeped.
Mm-hmm.
Drew doesn't have the tech. If you want to forward that to Drew.
Yeah, I'll forward it to Drew.
We were sent something from a coworker.
Yeah, just email it to me and I'll get it.
Yeah, we were sent something from a coworker and our sister station. One of our sister stations. I'll leave it at that for now. And we have written permission to use it. I want to be clear before we play it in the trash of the day. We were given permission directly by that individual.
Honestly, you can't send, as a radio person, you can't send something to another radio person. Even if you hadn't said, you better tell me explicitly not to
The person play it. Offered it up and said, by all means, use this on your show. Okay, we will. Especially since it has to do with the station a little
bit. Hang on, so this is a text message.
Yeah, but it's a video we need audio from.
Okay, I will... Uh-huh.
And you're going to need to bleep it. There's two.
I can email it to you.
I think there's like two.
Okay, emailing it would be easier to just.
Two parts that need to be bleeped.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we'll do that for the trash.
There's a little bit of cursing. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to, remember, officially sanctioned the Whittison. This is an above board show. We're rule followers now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, the previous 6 years, dicey. But now, we follow the rules on this show.
I will work on that.
So we're going to try not to get any FCC fines for bad language. So, sit your way, Drew. If you get it by then, otherwise we'll just do whatever trash of the day you had planned before.
I'll focus on doing that while you guys talk about Hollywood Brown.
Yes, let's talk some Chiefs, and let's talk about what we expect from Hollywood Brown a little bit.
It's not even necessarily, I don't mean this as a like official prediction of the yardage total yet. We can talk about that in a second. But the more I see kind of the structure of the offense and the players that they have available to them, knowing who they're going to throw to, I think when you look at Hollywood Brown's end of season numbers... If they're only 550 or 600 yards, I actually think that means the offense had a great year. Because I think it means they relied on him the amount I feel like they need to rely on him, not the amount that like maybe they feared they had to last year. Because the growth of Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, who I don't think is really going to miss any games this year, I can't even see any level at which he's going to ever get any of these criminal or civil cases taken care of. The amount I still think they'll throw to Travis Kelce and the running backs outside of it, I think the better version of the offense is everyone stays healthy and Hollywood Brown is a 550 to 600 yard wide receiver.
So I agree that last year, and we all know he got hurt before the season started in that preseason game before we knew Rice was going to get hurt and everything. But because Rice went down, if you would have said Hollywood Brown was healthy, last year was his chance, Hollywood Brown, to go get the big payday, to go cash in and have that 950 plus yard season. And it happened because, of course, he missed a majority of the year. Now, on paper, it looks like they're going to have Rice and Worthy in year two. And Brown is clearly the number three wide receiver.
And four behind Kelce.
If you take a look at most teams, you know, who the fourth receiving option is, that guy's probably not a 900 or 1,000 yard receiver. That guy's, I would say, in that 550 to 650 range, and you're pretty happy with that. So, yeah, I kind of tend to agree that, you know, we can get to specific numbers, as you said, during training camp and everything. But, you know, 600 to 700 yards max is probably what I would look at. And that'd be a really good season, actually, for Hollywood Brown in this offense, assuming Worthy and Rice are healthy. Because last year, I think, was his opportunity to kind of blow up and say, hey, fully healthy year, 1,000 yard receiver. I'm going to go get a multi-year deal
Xavier
somewhere else.
Rookie,
let's just be real. Hollywood Brown would not be on the Chiefs this season if he had a 1,000 yard season last year. He just wouldn't.
He
would have got
a
multi-year deal somewhere else, but he didn't. He unfortunately had that weird injury and then he came back. Definitely the offense looked better, I would still say, with him on the field, no doubt. And I expect that this season, but production, I think he'll take a 600 to 700 yard season. I would lock that in right this second if I was given the option.
I think 700 just seems high. Like if he gets to that point, I was like, if he just gets to that level, I feel like something's gone wrong in the offense. Like they've missed a player for a stretch of time. And look, not wrong for him necessarily.
The 17 game average in his career, and this is his entire career in fairness, it's 6 years, is 858 yard season. 74 catches, 858 yards. That's his average. And that includes one 1,000 yard season, but also includes a 91 yard season last year. So I actually think that's a pretty, like 17 game average across 6 years, 858. You and I are still saying it's below what his technical average of his career season is.
Sure. And again, I think that that's relative to just the players on the team more than I'm saying he has absolutely nothing left in the tank. I'm going through, I think Cincinnati, did Joe Burrow, did he lead the league in passing yardage?
I'm trying to think about the team that I think that's correct. And by the way, Hollywood Brown just turned 28, so he's still below 30.
Sure. The Ja'Marr Chase, 1,700. T. Higgins, 900. Their third wide receiver was their tight end, like we think it'll be in Kansas City. He'll be first, second, or third in yardage, 665. And then number four was Yoshivas at 479. I just think the best version of the offense is he catches 1 to 2 passes a game, and they work around his skill set and getting him deep and bringing back the deep passing game as a big portion of it. Because that, and that doesn't even speak to all the possession guys that they have, like Juju or what Jalen Royals does or anybody outside of that or inside of those numbers. If you're saying the average, you said, what's the average total? Just at
858.
Is it?
For Hollywood Brown?
How is it that high? I mean, he's only had over 800 yards one time the year he had 1,000.
I'm just reading this. It says 17 game average. Reception, 74. Yards, 858.
Oh, you know what? That's partially because his 17 game average is a lot better because he doesn't play 17 games very often.
Just reading
that's
the
fair.
Average, yeah.
No, yes. yeah.
But that also includes, again, a season where he had 91 yards. But yes, last year, the one game, they're basing it off of what he would have had across 17.
In his career, correct. Including the 91 yard season, he averages 622 yards just a season.
Correct.
But that is obviously related to the fact that he would be injured in some of those years, not hurt. And if correct. I take away the 91 yard season in which he just didn't play at all, his average goes up to 728, and he's a much, you know, like closer to that range.
So that's why I think 600 to 700 range is not crazy. Like,
no,
I don't think
that's
a crazy.
That's what I was
range.
Saying. Like 556, I actually think it means the offense is working well. 550, if he has 600 yards and he plays a full 17 games, you're like, well, that seems low. I'm like, oh no, that means things are humming because otherwise he'll end up getting more targets if things aren't going the way that they should. If Xavier, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce aren't contributing, you know, that's when Hollywood's numbers boost up a little bit. What's funny is this is definitely one of those, there are too many mouths to feed.
Yeah.
So I am interested to see if they stay healthy, what the division of labor is in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, like I don't get this text. Like I hope he ends up having a really nice career. It'd be great for the Chiefs. But like someone texted in a second ago, 913-586-7965. Jalen Royals is better day one than Hollywood. Like based off of what? Like also different type of receiver. Like we're comping a completely different receiver. Jalen Royals comp is that eventually if your best case scenario is that he turns into Rashee Rice or that he turns into Juju Smith-Schuster. That like that's the type of receiver he is. Jalen Royals is not, like, truly from a skill set, is not Hollywood Brown or Xavier Worthy. That's not his skill set. He is a bigger bodied wide receiver. He's closer to a Rice or Juju if you were to comp him out. I don't think that's accurate at all. I also don't think there's any way he's better than any of those three guys on day one.
You want to say he's, I think he'd be available. You want to say he's better? First round.
You want to say he's better than Juju at this point in his career? We'll see. There's a chance of that. But saying he's better than Hollywood Brown and he hasn't played a single snap in the NFL is wrong for a couple reasons. He's not even the same comp, a type of style, wide receiver.
Jalen Royals is a little bit more of an unknown because he only had really 20 college games. That's it. He's technically played in 32, but the first season he played in 13, he played 12 games. He did not have a single catch. He was a special teams player for Utah State. He played 2 years at Utah State as a full-time player. He got hurt and only played in 7 games last year, played in 13 the year before. 20 college games? I'm not determined he's just better than Hollywood Brown. Like, I'm not willing to go there
yet. That's a little disrespectful.
I know I've been a little
Hollywood
down
Brown.
On Hollywood Brown, partially because I think his inability to be on the field has been his biggest detriment consistently, more than just the skill set or outside of that. And I do wonder, like, after a time, sometimes we always pretend, like, if we just get a and I did this for a long time. If we get a player in a better offense, those numbers are getting ready to jump. Hollywood's bet go through the roof. And sometimes it just doesn't pan out that way in the NFL. I'm saying what I think is a good expectation for Hollywood Brown, which would be a good sign for the offense. I will say, for the 7 games he played last year, Jalen Royals did have 834 yards. So he was productive, certainly, in those 7 games.
If you're looking for, like, how does Jalen Royals have production, it requires Rashee Rice being out. That's how, you know, or Juju goes down for a significant period of time. But even then, Juju's the fourth receiver on this team. So really, the only way Jalen Royals, I think, is putting up more than 200 and something yards receiving his rookie year is if Rashee Rice ends up getting suspended multiple games or is hurt for a significant chunk. That's like the player that Royals get snaps over if there's injuries and stuff, or in place of, I should say, is Schuster and Rice, not if Worthy goes down.
What year was it that the Chiefs were was it 2018, the unstoppable offense?
Historically, yes. Was it post 2018, post 2017 draft? I think that's right.
Sorry, they've done so much winning.
When they had Kareem Hunt as the back at that time.
Yeah, yes. Well, for a while. yeah, as you might recall, did not make it through the entire season that year, although he's back with the Chiefs now, which Doesn't seem weird now, but certainly seemed weird at first. I was just trying to figure out, you had mentioned like you're the fourth or fifth wide receiver. Like Juju Smith-Schuster is the fifth at best wide receiving option.
But he's the fourth receiver, yes.
He's probably the sixth receiving option. So in that year in which they were the best offense on the planet, the sixth receiving option was Chris Conley, who came up with 334 yards. Fifth was Kareem Hunt at 378. Sixth was DeMarcus Robinson at 288. You want to know where I'll put Jalen Royal's numbers at? At best, that range. 150
yards.
To 300. If he has 300, I will consider this a successful season for Jalen Royal's. That's not even meant to be a knock that he doesn't have bigger upside or more upside. The funny part is, and this goes back to the rookies. I know we'll talk more about this. We'll be in camp 2 weeks from today. We'll be up in St. Joseph, Missouri 2 weeks from today. Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy would not have put up the total counting stats they did had things gone to plan. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like things did not go to plan their rookie seasons. They ended up having to lean on Rashee Rice because everyone else stunk. Kadarius Toney, no good. Sky Moore didn't develop.
Yep.
They had no one left to throw to. Last year was injury that eventually thrust Xavier Worthy into it, but that wasn't even the plan going into it. My guess is the plan for Jalen Royals is he's between 150 and 300 yards. You think it's any? I
agree. As I said,
barring injury,
Rice or Schuster have to miss significant games for Royals to have a real impressive statistical rookie season. It's going to be more of the developmental type of season, I believe, for Jalen Royals. But your hope is, as time goes on, he turns into either a Rice replacement, if you don't want to pay him in a couple of years, or he's just a very nice, similar type of receiver as Rice, but he's your number three receiver in a year from now or 2 years from now.
I did have a Royals fan. We'll get back to the Chiefs here in the Chiefs Right Half Hour, 15 minutes from now. But I had a Royals fan yesterday be like, you know what? You should be more on board. Royals are playing some good baseball, which they are. They're playing good baseball.
Somebody texted in today, the same thing.
And then had said, this is a second half team. And I thought, is it? And so we did a little bit of research to confirm whether or not that is the case. Last year, they were not a second half team, but that actually shouldn't surprise anybody. They lost Vinny Pasquantino for the final month of the season, and the offense cratered.
Yeah, almost cost them a playoff spot.
Yeah. It cratered the second Vinny was off the squad last year as he recovered from the thumb surgery. They were 34-31 the second half of last year. Obviously, this team finished 14 games above 500 last year, so better in the second half. They were 30-41 in 2023 second half. You might be like, well, that can't be better. It actually was. They were very bad in the first half of 2023. Yeah. The one thing I'll say that is true about the second half of the team is they pitch better in the second half of each of the last 2 years, which sounds awesome, but also improbable.
Well,
based on this team, I think this is a complete unknown. I don't know if this team's going to be better in the second half or not.
Yeah, you definitely.
I don't think
can.
Their history is telling us anything in that department.
History doesn't say that. I would actually argue in some cases it says the opposite. Also, in 2023, you know what changed in the second half of 2023?
They called some guys.
They traded
up
for Cole Reagans,
and he
immediately started pitching great. Last year in the second half, they obviously added Lucas Erceg. This year, we don't know what they're going to add in the second half. Are they trading away one of their best pitchers in the organization for the second half of this season? Does that, you know what I mean? Like if you're just
it doesn't sound like that based on the comments JJ continues to make. But
banking on the second half being better is still the same belief and optimism people and we all have had since the first week of the season, which is that, well, the offense will figure it out. That's basically like you're banking on what the offense has done the last five games. Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, all hitting together for the first time all year. You're banking on that being the second half. That's the only way that we're talking about this team having a drastically better second half, is that what we're seeing from the big three is what the second half is. If that happens, then this team obviously has a chance again. But five games doesn't mean suddenly think that the offense has figured it out. It's a great sign. I want to see them do it the rest of this week, and we can talk on Monday.
I might need to see them do it the rest of the month.
Fair.
Part of this is just math. They have a lot of ground to make up in that category. Like, they're just, I know they're second place in the AL Central now.
That doesn't matter.
All right, awesome.
It doesn't matter.
We're talking about wild card spots. They're not catching the first team in the AL Central. So where they end up in the AL Central is going to be, at the end of this year, irrelevant. Because they are, 14 games behind the Detroit Tigers. I don't think they're making that up in 70. Maybe I'm a hater, but I don't think that one's going to go down. Mostly because I think the Tigers are the best team in baseball or the second best team in baseball, but they're up there, certainly, at least based on that category. And so it's about the fact that they're five games back. They're going to have to hit like this or continue to pitch lights out. I do give them a lot of credit. The second half team, the one argument I would make for it this year, Gold, will they be a second half team? Let's eliminate the, you and I agree, they're not. We don't have any evidence one way or the other if they're a first half or a second half team. Too small of a sample size, too many injuries and factors that we can't consider. And like you said, they traded for Cole Reagans last year. This year, they will have, I think, Cole Reagans more or as much in the second half as they did in this previous year. And there is no indication, maybe there's no indication that the offense is going to turn around, but there's no indication that the pitching staff's going to fall apart. Like, there's no reason to think pitching staff's going to fall apart. I didn't say take a slight regression.
Yes, are they going to suddenly be the worst pitching staff in baseball? Of course not.
They were already worse in June than they were in April and May.
Yeah, I mean, yes, fall apart, no. Saying that the pitching staff can't continue to regress, I think that is very optimistic thinking. One, it could regress if you just simply trade away Seth Lugo. That's for obvious reasons. Two, Noah Cameron's having a great year. Can still regress at any moment just based off of stuff.
God, he was so good.
I understand. And it's a great thing. But, you know, that can regress. Michael Lorenzen's coming off a great start, but that can fluctuate up and down. Also, do they trade him? And if they trade him and Lugo, who the hell is in this pitching staff in the second half of the season? I mean, honestly. Who's pitching?
I mean, maybe all the Reagans, guys that you maybe. Would have said forever. The only words I've heard related to the guys in the minors is the word setback. I don't think I've heard a single thing relative
Marsh. I don't know if we're ever seeing them.
I haven't heard a single word about like feeling great. Now Reagan's throwing. I think the most recent report from Andy Rogers is he's getting ready to start throwing again, and that his last checkup looked good.
I'm guessing. I don't think we see Reagan's till like August 1st. Am I off on that?
No, I wouldn't. That would be probably the earliest timeline, I would think.
Okay.
But like he could still, you know, like because there's a whole week off for the,
no, he will be back this year, but I don't know if you can, like, you can't count on Kyle Wright this year. You can't count on Alec Marsh, Hunter Harvey. He's a bullpen guy, but
if they trade away Seth Lugo, the rotation's worse. It's just gonna,
it
just is.
Yeah. Can they actually afford, like, truly, like, can they afford to trade from a, just putting together rotation without saying you're completely waving the white flag? Can they trade Lugo and Lorenzen and have a rotation you can actually, like, your rotation is then Bubich, Noah Cameron, and Reagans, and who?
Waka and Lorenzen.
Sorry, I keep forgetting about Waka. No, but in this hypothetical, Lorenzen's gone. Sorry, I keep forgetting Waka.
Waka's still under contract. Yeah. Got a couple years of Waka.
I keep forgetting
just
Waka.
Quietly
okay,
doing
so
his job,
Reagans,
you know?
Noah Cameron, Bubich, and Waka. So in that scenario,
four-man rotation, I guess.
Yeah, but that's also
and then whoever your best banking, AAA pitcher is.
Reagans coming back and being the same guy?
I guess Jonathan Bollinger 5.
Yeah, probably.
Daniel Lynch got hurt, right?
He's
in the IL, so it's not him.
Yep.
Daniel Lynch or Jonathan Bolin are your five in that case. And a lot of the advanced numbers don't like what Daniel Lynch are doing. So like, or I don't know, some guy that I don't even know how close any of the other guys in AAA are. Kuderna or, you know, like, I don't even know.
I think he's too. I don't think he's.
I don't think he's close enough either. I'm just pointing out names. Of
Rich,
like,
Hill, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. Honestly, it's probably Rich
Dick
Hill.
Mountain.
He's more likely than all the minor leaguers I probably just listed.
Start filming the rookie too.
I will say we both have forgot about Michael Waka multiple times when talking about the rotation. Talk about a guy who's just like doing his job perfectly fine every 5 days, shows up, no complaint, that I should probably give a little bit more credit to. I'm not saying it's flashy. It's not. He's doing it like a, you know, mid-30s dad, like he probably is. And so, like, he's just going about his business quietly doing his yard work. But, like, good for him for just consistently being one of the quality pitchers the Royals have in their rotation that I don't even worry about. He comes up to pitch, I'm like, oh, walk a day? That'll probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get too high or too low today. I'm just going to assume that'll be all right. Versus I want Reagan's back pitching the way he did. I'm hoping this shutdown, because he was never right. You could tell by the way he was pitching, right? That something was wrong with his body. That's the whole thing. It's like, maybe
the question with that
Reagan's
is like the groin injury lead to the shoulder problems or not. You know, is that what led? Did that lead to eventually the shoulder injury that he's currently dealing with? All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
So we were sent a video from a coworker. We were given permission to play this. Drew, you have edited this, I believe. bleeped it out?
Yes, and yes.
And he took out a little bit of personal medical information towards the end there.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So not all of the medical information, just a little bit of the personal medical information.
Dana Wright has also posted this on her personal Facebook, but she texted us privately and said, feel free, use this on the air. She underwent, I can say this because she said it in the video, you'll be able to tell, she had a procedure, a colonoscopy, very important to get tested, obviously.
Oh, well, that part, you're not going to hear that part because I lowered that. When she said what was done, I didn't know.
She told.
Anyways.
It's fine.
For the millionth time, she gave us permission before anybody freaks out. So
when you hear that audio go down, it's definitely not a colonoscopy.
Yeah, no, she told us we could use it.
It's fine.
So anyway, just kill the vibe on. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just joking about it.
So anyway, she sent us this video, and it's the trash of the day because the video is pretty funny. Let's just play it. Let's just get right to it.
Hey, I'm out. I had one. They removed it. And then one of those out there just said they listened to 96.5 The Fan.
One of those people out there listen to 96.5
Why is this so bad? She's just trying to get a colonoscopy, and a guy said he listens to the best radio station in Kansas City. I don't actually see the issue here. It's a tough thing to hear. Sometimes it's like this is probably a pet peeve that only other, you know, like, it's too industry specific. Like, if you're like, hey, what do you do for a living? Like, you know, I just met some new parents of like my kids. Hey, what do you do for a living? You're like, I work at 96.5 The Fan. The last thing you want to be like, I listen to Dana and Parks. You're like, I didn't need all your personal listening habits. I was just letting you know what I did. It would be the same as like, what do you do for your living? Like, well, I work on Ford. You're like, I'm a Chevy guy. You know? You're like, I don't need that information. It's unimportant to the conversation. I was just asking you what your job is. I do like that. What's unclear about it is, did they just volunteer this information when they found out who she was? Just be like, I don't really listen to your show. I listen to 96.5 The Fan.
Maybe she said, listen to the radio.
But he probably heard Dana on Fan Club. If he listens to the station, then he would know who she is.
Fan Club a couple times.
Multiple times, yeah.
She's been on this station a couple of times. Dana found love on this station. She should love 96.5 The Fan, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think she's appreciating the fact what it's done for her personal life, you know?
Have you had a colonoscopy yet?
I've not. Is that 40?
I mean, you're in your 40s now. You're in your 40s now. I feel like you're getting close.
Oh, man.
Hold on. I mean, they recommend what? 45, I think. I think they recommend.
45 years old is what they recommend. Should I be getting on this early?
They recommend start screening at 40 if you have a relative that was diagnosed with like
colon cancer.
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
And otherwise, they say you can wait till you're 45 to get checked.
I got 5 more years. Maybe I'll just knock it out somewhere.
Cody's going to take a whole week off. Dana Wright said it took 8 minutes and she's back tomorrow. Cody's going to take the entire week off.
I might schedule it on a Friday, you know.
Well, there you go.
Try to slide it into a weekend, if you will. Yeah. But, you know.
There you go.
You're the one who told me to get 18 surgeries. Just you wait.
Well, fix it. Well, at this point, we're sick of hearing about the Super Bowl. We're sick of hearing about the knee. Just go get it fixed, man. Take a month off if that's what it takes to get it all corrected.
I was like, Cody's going on the 30-day IL.
I'm trying to be achiever of the month. I can't do that missing for all these surgeries.
Somebody said you weren't eligible because you missed too many days.
Somebody said in June I couldn't be eligible because I gotta not be a dance dad if I want to be achiever of the month.
Cody, if you went and got surgery on two different things and still worked amidst the process while rehabbing, then I think if you don't win achiever of the award, it's never going to happen. You would have to win it then. You would have to get it.
Jay Binkley once showed up to work in the morning of getting LASIK. He got LASIK in the morning.
Yeah, that's.
And then was he didn't at need to see. Work.
That's not recommended, by the way.
At 10 a.m. that day to do his show.
I can tell you that's not recommended.
It's not recommended. Nobody would recommend that.
Because I had the same thing. And they're like, yeah, just take the rest of the day off. You barely can see. You can't drive. Just don't look. You don't want to stare at a computer screen right after you had a LASIK surgery.
I don't know who drove him here then. Who obliged by his request?
Man, I don't know. Somebody let him work one way or the other. Someone's claiming from the 785. That I can, if I have no family history, I can just poop in a box and send it off to be tested.
Yeah, I've seen the commercials for
Cologuard?
Yeah, whatever that's called.
That thing.
They said I can just do it that way instead.
Just poop and
tell me if there's a
that one. And not trying to discount it. I think there's this. Yeah, depending on. I thought the whole thing with that is if it comes back like positive on that, then you still need to go in and get a colonoscopy anyway. So wouldn't you just?
So why not just go get the colonoscopy?
That's my understanding with it. Like you have to get it confirmed anyway. So why would you waste your time?
This is it. I'm going to get a surgery. I'm going to come back to work the same day. And then that's how I'll get Achiever of the Month. Or can I come on the... you don't want me drugged up on the radio. I'll say things I can't say.
I mean, it'd be great content.
It would be very fun content.
I don't know if we have enough of the dump button to try to keep the curse words off.
You would have to spread it out enough to to not, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need you to have 5 seconds of just going nuts.
All we would have to do is Cody's just getting off the drugs from a procedure. We call up and we're like, hey, Cody, just want to ask you one more time. What did you think of the Springfield road trip? And just let you go.
I
loved watching Caglione play. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to him, getting a little bit better going on the bat in the major league level.
All right, that is the trash of the day. Thank you, Dana Wright. Glad to hear things are going well. All right, up next, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, talk more about a player that probably doesn't get enough credit for his time in Kansas City and how much could the Chiefs miss him this year. That's coming up.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And it is brought to you by
All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Video stream.
Sorry, texting our boss.
You're good. Video stream is up and running. During the break, we got a delivery of some of our swag that we needed. A lot of this will be available on Sunday at our first event for the Wittesons, our new fan club for Bobby Wood Jr., officially sanctioned by Major League Baseball and the Royals. The Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest. We now have some bumper stickers, which are now currently on my laptop if you're watching on the video stream. We have eye black that says Wittesons on it. It looks great with the glasses, man.
Let me show it all.
We have an official pin. Some that say, for us, senior Wittesons.
I might be willing to dub one more person. The winner of the Bobby Witt, I might be willing to give a senior Wittesons.
And we have some that just say, Wittesons.
Official Wittesons fan club.
Drew, did you grab your Wittesons?
Senior Wittesons.
Did you grab your senior Wittesons? We got to get Drew a senior Wittesons.
Bumper stickers. Drew, you are a senior Wittesons. We'll make sure that you've got yours. I'll keep his aside there. And then, tons of eye black. Eye black. So if you want to check it out on the video stream over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, you can absolutely see it there. So there's a lot. There's a lot to go in, obviously, across the board. If you want to see again on the video, we want to be able to hand you some of this stuff out at the K.
I like it.
For good our stuff. First Wittesons event, where you can get the free Bobby Wood Jr. haircut from the barbers we have on site. And then you can enter our Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest with mystery prizes. Ooh, what will they be? You'll have to find out.
Somebody's asking, how do they get the stickers? Yep, Sunday, 10:30, Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest outside Gate B at the K. That's how you can get, we'll have plenty of these bumper stickers and stickers in general.
It's just a good looking logo.
It is. A little gold coloring, blue background, solid. Anyway, glad we got those in just in time for Sunday's event.
Do I want to put a hole in the jersey? You think it'll matter?
Oh,
this is the jersey Quick Trip sent me.
You can put a little pin on your jersey. It's fine. Come on.
It's a tiny little hole.
Said it looks like the pins were at a rally or something. Yeah, well, that's kind of what we're doing on Sunday, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
We are the senior Wittesons. You could be a Wittesons yourself. And who doesn't want eye black and bumper stickers? It's going to be a good time. We're going to have a fun time out there.
Thing
obviously,
is awesome.
We'll see you out there on Sunday. I was thinking about a Chiefs player, just kind of individually, because I feel like you and I were on the opposite side of this, I actually believe. And I don't understand. I feel like we should at least discuss it as a possibility. Are the Chiefs going to miss Justin Reed more than we are discussing? Because the amount I will admit is being discussed by fans is zero. They don't think they'll miss him at all. Good riddance borderline feels to be the energy towards safety. And this same thing happened at the end of Tyrann Mathieu's era. And you and I both said, I don't think Tyrann Mathieu's playing as bad as you all are trying to make it seem. And that's obviously been proven true because he's pretty much been as good as Justin Reed over the last 3 years at his stay in New Orleans versus what Justin Reed has done in Kansas City. I think they're going to miss him some. I think there is going to be a learning curve for all the young safeties that they're asking to do more more important things. They didn't replace him with a veteran safety for the first time.
Yeah, and I think that's where maybe there's the confidence or belief that it doesn't really matter, is because people saw Tyron walk, and then Justin Reed, to his credit, came in and played at a very high level as well. And so the thought is, well, they've replaced the safety twice before. Why can't they again?
With veterans.
But it's been with veterans, not young players. And I've said this, we both agreed last year during training camp and preseason. Jaden Hicks, he pops off your screen when you're watching. Like, he stands out. And I think he's going to be a very good player for this team. But early in the season, could there be some moments where you notice the veteran just like instinct, if you will, that's just there after playing as many snaps as Justin Reed had played and Tyron had played
in
their NFL career? Yeah, I think you lose a little bit of that. Who's going to take charge in that secondary? We talk about all
Ryan
the time,
Cook?
Like the vocal guys, you know, because Trent McDuffie, you know, Justin Reed, they had some guys back there. Trent McDuffie doesn't, you know, is he going to suddenly be the vocal guy? But who in the safety group is that going to be? Maybe it is Jaden Hicks, by the way, right? Maybe he just takes on more of a leadership role back there in year
just
two.
Just a second-year player.
But that's the
They've
thing.
Been gone veteran in safety. That's still what stood out to me, Gold, is that I'm not saying it can't work, but genuinely, it's the opposite of the plan that they have gone to this point. Does that mean this time they just couldn't afford a safety in free agency? Or does this mean that this time they just trust their young safety so much, or like their young safety so much, that they're willing to roll the dice?
Is that something where maybe the signing of Christian Fulton is, I don't know how much of a vet, if you will, presence Christian Fulton is. He's been in the league a little bit, though, where I don't know if he adds a dynamic of leadership. Jamari Connor has been involved in the offense, or involved in the defense, rather, since coming in as a rookie.
But not a single one has been the dude.
Yeah, it's going to be more, it might be more of a collective effort in terms of everybody keeping everyone on their toes and making sure everybody's up to par.
To make sure they have a vet in that safety, you know, that safety room, if you will. I guess it's more of a secondary room than just a safety room, but that grouping of safeties, I should say. Remember, they brought back Mike Edwards. Now, I'm not saying he's going to start or anything like that, but his presence, maybe just being able to kind of coach some of these guys up too, helps. I think that's where maybe you get some of that veteran leadership, but not on the, if you're talking about just who's going to be vocal on the field, well, it's not going to be Mike Edwards. He's not going to play a ton, I don't think. But if you just say, hey, coaching him up and during training camp, who can help guys like Hicks and others, maybe Mike Edwards is somebody like that. Who, remember, they brought him back after he played with the Chiefs and the Bucks.
Yeah. I'm not saying it can't be, and they don't have, like, it might be Brian Cook, but I do feel like they're putting a lot on Jaden Hicks and Shamari Connor. And I do think that this goes back to the why they wanted Christian Fulton, so that maybe they can move some of these safeties back to their more natural position. But I think if there's any part, and I won't worry about it for the entire season, you and I have talked about this, I think Spags does a really good job of adjusting with the talent he has at some point in the season to make it pretty good defensively, no matter what the circumstances are. But I do think that there's a chance of, like, those hiccups on the back end with those big plays being given up. And look at the offenses they're facing in those first few weeks, right? Chargers can obviously throw it deep a little bit, at least. The Eagles have been one of the better offenses in the sport. I can't remember they've got week in four off the top of my head. But you get the point. Like, these are teams that can score a little bit. I think we could have some early season, like you and I are talking September 30, and being like, they're giving a lot of big plays. I wonder why. And I think we should all remember it's because they're breaking in a bunch of young safeties into a bigger role that they have had a good veteran player in for the last 6 years straight. Right? Because it was 3 years of Matthew and 3 years of Justin Reed.
Yep.
So, I mean, the entire time Spax has been the defensive coordinator, essentially. I like the fact that he's willing to go with it and go with the corners instead. Maybe that's the McDuffie thing, too, going back to
that.
Well,
it's him. And I also think it's probably also just their confidence in, you know, Brian Cook and Jaden Hicks, just playing simple. Look, they drafted Jaden Hicks when they did. We all knew at the time that he was likely going to be the Justin Reed replacement. It was like, that was the thought when they drafted him. Like, okay, well, this is a guy, like, this is a guy that you drafted to probably replace Justin Reed one day. And that's exactly what has happened. And now it's his time to shine, obviously. It's easy when you're a rookie and it's preseason, you pop off the screen and all that, but, like, you're not expected to be the guy back there.
Yeah.
Now you might, although I agree with you, that is probably going to be in conjunction with Brian Cook. Like, if you're asking the two big guys in that the secondary, at least the safety group, yeah, it's Cook and Hicks. I think those will be the two guys that, of course, get the most snaps.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm just questioning whether or not I think there'll be a point this year when you remember that Justin Reed isn't on the team, and instead they have gone with a group of young safeties. I think that time will be the first month of the season before Spags figures out the rotations on that end. Going back to at least the corners, though, I do think that this is where Christian Fulton, Trent McDuffie, Watson, Williams, Nazi, whoever they like, and then obviously no Williams, the kid they drafted in the fourth round, third round. I can't remember.
No Williams.
When they took him in the third round, I think, when I do think that that's where he contributes as well, and maybe it's more of a by committee. Maybe it is more like Drew said, like, hey, we're going to rotate guys in, and this is a fresh body approach to the safety game rather than that. But, I mean, Justin Reed was a very good safety. I don't understand why everybody in Kansas City wants to run safeties out of town, I'll say. It seems like the second that they're not under contract anymore, like, they stunk the whole time. And I didn't think that was true of Tyrann Mathieu, and I don't think that's true of Justin Reed. I thought he was a really nice player the entire time.
It goes back to what we talked about even with interceptions. I don't think people, unless you're extremely hard-hitting safety or you got a bunch of picks, people don't value the position properly, maybe is what happens. You know, corners, they look at interceptions. They understand the concept of being a shutdown corner. If you're a hard-hitting safety, if you're coming up and you're making big hits, people notice you. They view you as a better safety. If you're just a nice coverage guy that gets people in the right spots and a leader out there, people, for whatever reason, like...
Same thing. They want to be Ed Reed. And if he's not Ed Reed, we're not interested?
I think that's why people act that way about the safeties in general.
Look, I mean, at least corners, we understand that they've been willing to toss them asunder. We don't actually know whether or not a non-veteran safety works in Spags defense. He's had those guys the entire time.
True.
We don't know what it looks like when there isn't the let's get everybody in the right spot leader type guy in the back of the safety room. I have faith in Spags that it will still likely work. I just told you, I think it might get off to a slow start and you might find out, you know, a little bit later on that part of the reason it got off to a slow start is because of the young safeties instead of Justin Reed. That's all.
Yeah, someone said safety is the offensive guard of the defense.
Yeah.
Now, do you mean that in, I'm curious if the texter means that as in like they don't care or that they just think they don't get respect? I'm curious which way the texter's leaning with that statement.
It's tough to say, because if you said they didn't care, wouldn't you just call them the running back of?
Well, it depends on who you are. I guess.
I don't know. I'm asking. Offensive guard is an important position, but nobody really values it. Or maybe Chiefs do. They're getting ready to pay $100 million.
I was going to say, they already have a guy on a franchise tag making him the highest paid guard in football this upcoming season.
We'll talk about Trey Smith coming up again a little bit later on. 1 week from today is the franchise tag deadline to go with it. But speaking of deadlines, Kansas, oh man, they got a firm deadline now. Gold, just you wait. Just you wait. They're saying December 31st or we're out of the stadium game. I want to remind people as we talk about this, they just had a deadline, and they extended their deadline by 12 full months at worst, and even with their new deadline, like 6 full months than it was previous. So they are willing to negotiate here. I think this is just more about the Chiefs wanting to have maximum time to make their decision.
Yeah, this all came to be because yesterday, Mark Donovan, Chiefs team president, had a press conference where they were announcing the title sponsor for the college football game that's going to be at Arrowhead in August. That's Nebraska and Cincinnati. And, of course, there was some media availability afterwards. And the stadium conversation existed there and came up. And there were some questions that I thought were interesting, including this one about what happens if the Chiefs go to an April ballot for a renovated Arrowhead. What happens then? And also, it became clear that the Chiefs are gunning for an April ballot, not a November ballot. That also became clear from that session. But here's Mark Donovan.
I know Luke said last one, but let's say you go renovation and you can't get a timeline to get on the ballot in November and you do it in April and it doesn't pass. Then what?
Yeah, that'd be a tough situation for everybody involved.
And that would be reality at that point in time, though, that you had two opportunities, Jackson County, at that point.
And you said you don't want them. Don't want them if it's at your cost, not
sure.
Theirs.
But that's the only way you have them, right? But that's the only way you have them. And so then you say, okay, well, wouldn't they just go to Kansas? Well, it was interesting. The Kansas Senate President Ty Masterson was on with Fesco and Dusty today, and they asked him, What's the deadline? What happens if it fails in Missouri in April? If in fact the Royals go that route, would you guys be willing to negotiate still?
I think that ship's going to sail, right? Because it's complex to put something together like what we did. You know, when you have 165 people trying to make a decision, it gets pretty complicated. So I think what you have with Kansas is best deals on the table. Take it or leave it.
Okay, so if this thing does fail in Missouri, that means the Chiefs could potentially be open for the world, you know?
Oh, I know. No, that's what I'm hoping, that because I think it's best for the teams to stay in the market, right? These guys are business guys. I mean, so, yeah, I hope that's enough incentive for them to, you know, to get on the ball. Let's go.
I understand why the state of Kansas wants to put some pressure on the Chiefs and say, hey, we extended the star bonds, but we still have this deadline at the end of the year. I understand why they want that. They want a decision. Everybody's sick and tired of waiting around.
6 months.
But I still disagree with the notion that they would just say, ah, well, we gave you the best deal already. You waited too long. Ty Masterson, in the same interview this morning with Bob and Dusty, said essentially like, Candace has nothing to lose in this whole thing. And I agree with him on that. But they have nothing to lose, so you also have nothing to lose if they came back in April and it failed in Jackson County, and then it's April 25th or 20th, whatever, and they said, hey, actually, you know what? I don't know if you saw, you know, the Jackson County thing didn't go our way. We'd love to come to Kansas. You're telling me the state of Kansas, which has nothing to lose, is going to say, well, too late, boys. Sorry. I just do not buy that, not to mention, in writing, they actually extended the star bonds a full year. I understand there's an arbitrary deadline of December 31st, but they actually extended it a year. So I do not believe for a second, while they want to put the pressure on the Chiefs, I get that they would tell the Chiefs to go, you know.
Yeah, I know. Gold, we've said
it. I just don't buy it.
Look, here's what the thing is. It's an empty threat. It's like, we don't want, like, look, we know how bad you want them. I get it. Like, in a desperate situation, you don't want to come off looking desperate. That doesn't help anybody, right? Doesn't do any good. It doesn't help you. Makes you look like you're in a weak position. But when you extended it for a whole year and they're like, but this new deadline, now we mean it. You told me you meant the last one. If one of these teams will come to Kansas City, I guarantee you.
Or come to Kansas, yeah.
Or come to Kansas, you'll take them. You'll take them. You'll take them. You'll take them if it's 4 years from now or a decade from now or 20 years from now.
Of course.
So you'll certainly take them in April if that vote failed. I will say, I do not get the confidence in the vote would pass. I'm maybe 50-50 at best.
In Jackson County.
That a Jackson County Chiefs-only vote would pass. What makes the Chiefs think this would be different? I still thought, I still thought their part of the plan was worse. And I guess it would depend on if the Royals, let's say the Royals stay in Kansas City.
Yeah, it hurts their odds of passing.
Right? Significantly. Now, go to Kansas, I think it helps the Chiefs' odds quite a bit.
Yeah, because then, you know you'd lose both teams.
Are the Chiefs going to wait for that before they make their call?
I still think, other than, you know, you don't want to rush in the November ballot, I think another reason why you wait till April is, yeah, you hope by then the Royals have decided what they're going to do, and the picture becomes clear of where you're at.
Yeah. I guess maybe that's what it is. It's just, and it's not even a knock. I understand that you can't. This is the same as, like, J.J. Piccolo just declaring a trade. He's not going to come on here and be like, I'll extend it for as long as they want.
I understand.
They can have it forever. But also, like, making it seem like you're a little more firm knowing that you just adjusted this doesn't seem right. And I said it earlier, I will not understand the idea that, like, I don't even think, this is one of those, like, you say never 100%. There is a 0.00, I don't care how many decimal points you take it out, chance that the Chiefs leave the Kansas City area. Are you seriously trying to tell me that he doesn't want to... He doesn't even want to tear down Arrowhead,
right?
But he'll just move cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no universe in which he moves cities.
Yeah. I understand people would argue and say, well, once Missouri, if in this hypothetical Missouri Jackson County voters in April said no, then Missouri's out. And now your only option is Kansas. So you'd listen to other municipalities outside the region. I'm with you, Cody. I don't buy it. Why wouldn't they just take the Kansas offer? And then if your pushback is, well, Kansas is not going to accept them then. And again, that's where you and I call BS on that. And that's why it ends. If you actually could 100% tell me that Kansas had like something in legal writing that said they refused to take the Chiefs after December 31st and they refused to take them for 10 more years or something, then I will buy your scenario where that then all of a sudden.
But if you're just like, but we mean it.
Then I don't buy it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do not believe the threat of a April ballot failing means they're leaving the metro area. I'm sorry. Nobody's going to convince me of that one. Now, if they fail in April on a renovated stadium, then yeah, Kansas, of course, seems like the obvious destination. I'm just not buying that a state that has never had a major four team is going to, 4 months after a arbitrary deadline, is going to say, nah, you know what? Actually, all this work we put in, you know what?
Yeah.
Now you're ready to come to us? No, we're good, guys. Pass.
It does.
I just don't believe it. 1 second.
No, I don't either. It does seem like not like a bad idea from the Chiefs to wait out what the Royals do first at this point.
Yep.
Because if they say we're going to Kansas, you're like, hell yeah. You know, like if you're the Chiefs, you're like, perfect. Dream scenario.
Boy, and they're the franchise that leaves the state. You're not the bad guys for leaving,
yeah,
air quotes.
And you know, you got a much better chance of it passing. But what are they going to do? spend the next 3 months polling every Jackson County resident to find out whether or not, let's call it, you said earlier, quarter cent sales tax as the stadium renovation plan and figuring out whether or not that does it? I don't, you know, like.
Also, let's see what happens with the special election to recall Frank White. That's another thing to keep an eye on as well. That's not happening till August, I believe. So what, you know, does he actually get recalled? I assume he will, but I have no idea.
Pretty likely at this point.
I would agree.
His popularity is probably not at an all-time high based on that. Again, I told you, he put out a statement. He says it's the stadiums that are got him in trouble in this recall.
No.
Not the personal property tax issue.
I mean, that's just being completely oblivious to the situation.
Trying to make people forget about it?
If you think people are trying to recall you because of how you stood on the stadiums and not mainly because you raised their property taxes while not raising your own, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. No, I think it's just more like you want people who vote on this thing to be voting over the stadium thing. You'd be like, you know what? I didn't want those stadiums anyway. Keep Frank. Not about all the other issues related to it, especially the one that did it before. So, yeah, crazy.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Then we'll talk more about what the Royals offense has done the last five games and the latest from J.J. Piccolo on what that means for the rest of this month. That's coming up here on 96.5 The Fan.